Seems like we've known each other forever. Sam Amara has a church in Lagos. It's a great church. The weather there is beautiful, nice and hot. And Sam also leads our West Africa team. You have eight churches in Nigeria, is it? Eight in Nigeria. And then we have churches in Guinea, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Ghana, just planting into Togo and Benin, and Nigeria itself. So it's a real privilege to have him here speak to us. I'd just like you to spontaneously stand up and give him a round of applause and cheers.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. I am very, very happy to be here and to be with you. I want to give a thank to Open Door for opening their doors for me. And then I've known Dave for more than 15 years. We've worked together in West Africa. He's been in Nigeria. He's been in my place. I've been in his place when he's living in London. And then when he was moving to this place, we were all praying together. And I'm happy that he is here because he has all that opportunity. So glad to be here to see you and to be a part of what God is doing in your midst. And then God bless you. I want to say to the Ghanaians here, Akwaba, Etiche, and Nigeria here, many languages in Nigeria. Ekabo. And then, no. My name is Sam Amara. I lead a church called Riches of Grace Church, and known as Grace House in Lagos, and then do oversee our works in West Africa. I'm married to one wife, not many wives, yeah. And I have three children. My first son is about 18, going to 19. He's in university. My daughter is about 17, planning to go to university. My first son is in university already. My daughter is going to enter by September. And the big man of the house, my last son, Miracle, is 10. And you can understand, it gives us all the troubles. And yeah, so shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you for giving us a privilege to be together and to share together. Lord, I want to say, you are God. You are God from beginning to the end. There is no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. You are God from beginning to the end. There is no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. Lord, you are God all by yourself. You are the uncreated that created everything. You are the immortal. You are the invisible. You are the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscience. The all-knowing God, all-powerful God. We love you. You are El Shaddai. You are the ancient of days. You are the Lord of the whole universe. We thank you for your love, for your kindness. We thank you for all you have done. Thank you for giving us your son, Jesus. And we thank you for salvation of our soul. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for gift of the church from nations. You brought us together. You redeemed all their blood to be one people. We just say thank you. And thank you for gift of your word. Lord, we ask this morning, as we share in your word, we ask that the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see the wonder of things out of your word. Thank you, Father, for teaching us, for instructing us, for opening our eyes, for advising us, for encouraging us, for directing us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Just a little warning before I start. I live in Lagos, and the noise is very, 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 very much. And so if you want people to hear, you have to shout loud. And sorry, maybe at a point I may shout loud. Please just tolerate me. It is not, I'm not shouting at you. I'm just being myself. I got WhatsApp from Martin this morning. My friend Martin said, be yourself. So I say, if I'm myself, I'll shout loud and I'll dance. Yeah, this morning I want to talk to you on the topic, open the door, open church, open door church, open the door. So my topic is open the door. And I want us to read, if you would like to read, the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 8. And we read verse 21. If I see it projected, that would be great. I hope you'll be struggling with my accent from the beginning. Revelation chapter 8, chapter 3, verse 8. I'd like to read. Yeah. I know your work. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but a little power, and yet had kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who says that they are Jews and not are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word about patient and endurance. Patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world. And I want to just speedily go to verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him the seat with me, to sit with me on the throne. Can we just also read the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 12. I would like to read from verse 12. Acts chapter 12 from verse 12. If you would like to read, that would be great. When he realized this, he went to his house, the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer, recognizing Peter's voice. In her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. Thank you. And then also we may like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll read 8 to 9. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 to 9. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentacles. For a wide door for effective work has opened to me. But there are many adversaries. How does he feel when you get home from work, very tired, and you find out that you've misplaced your key? You can't find your key to enter your house. How do you feel? You're looking here and there, trying to think what to do, think of where you left the key, and all those kind of a thing. Or sometimes you come home and you have your children at home. Maybe they are teenagers like mine, or just little children inside the room, very consumed with their PlayStations or TV or whatever. And they have locked the door at the back. And you're knocking at the door. And nobody is responding. And you can hear their noise inside the room. I don't know, it had it ever happened to you? It had happened to me sometime. And you are shouting, Casey, come and open the door. And all of them are just busy with their thing. You know, it can be frustrating. You can get angry because the door is closed. You just want to get access to your house, remove your clothes, get into the washroom, shower if you're living in Africa, to cool your body and cool your temper, run to the kitchen, get a food to eat. You feel like that. And this is not happening quick, you know. you are like getting upset. And then that is how it looks like when you have a closed door. When you have a closed door. I read a story one time about a family. They are a Christian family, and they go to church, they read the Bible, they study the Bible, they enjoy the worship, they do everything with other people, but they do not have really great marriage. They are not very excited and happy at home. They are always after each other, arguing, quarreling, fighting, keeping malice and all this kind of a thing in the house, and they have a small boy, a young boy, which they often take to Sunday school. And this guy don't understand. They can't make up. They can't reconcile what happens at home and what they say in the church, what happens in the church. And they have some of religious painting and hanging and stickers at home in their doors and their walls. And one day, the young boy came back and his attention was caught with a sticker and a painting in their entrance door. And this sticker has the image, maybe supposedly Jesus, that was the religious people, knocking at the door. And then he looked at that image, knocking at the door, and it was written, "I knock at your door." And then she stayed there, he stayed there, and started crying. And then went and called the mommy and said, "Look at that person, is knocking at our door. Please, can you open the door for him?" Open the door. And he started crying. He said, "Mommy, open the door. Mommy, open the door. Mommy, open the door." And the mommy was just confused. She didn't know what to make out of it. This is an image, and my little boy is asking me to open the door for an image. And then was crying, and then at a point, the man of the house, the father came back. And when he came back, saw this boy with his mommy at the door, and they said, "Hey, daddy, you're welcome. Open the door. This man had been here for a long time, knocking at the door. Open the door for him. Open the door. Open the door." And he started crying. Keep crying. "Open the door. Open the door. Open the door." At a point, The Holy Spirit was doing something in the heart of this couple. They looked at each other. They started weeping and knelt down by the at the door there and cried and opened the door for the person. And that's Jesus. And from that point, peace returned to their home. This morning, I will ask you, please, could you open the door? Open the door. The door is an access point, an entering point to a room or to a house or to a city or to a place. It's just an access point to your life. And so when we say open, it means unlock it. Give access to God. Give access to people. Give access to certain things. Unveil yourself. Be visible. Because when door is closed, it means exclusion. It means exclusion. Sometimes it might be exclusion of other things for you to be in a solitary place in order to pray. That's why. That's wonderful. I was talking on prayer in the conference. That's great and wonderful. But you don't stay in the closet all the day. You don't just close your door all the days. You have to open it. And then, because when door is closed, you don't go out. It restricts movement. Nothing comes in. Nothing goes out. And the resultant effect is there's hardship. There's scarcity. When the heaven door is closed, there is scarcity. There's no realm. The resultant effect is that we have drought. And when there is drought, the grasses and the plant suffers and dies. And nothing comes in. And so I am asking you to, could you please this morning open the door? I am praying that God will so open the door of heaven to give us access to revelation, to power, to the downpour of the Spirit. And I want to ask your church to open the door. Thank God for opening the door for the black man here to speak to you. I just want you to open door and your door more and more. I want to mention about three things this morning. I'm going to look at three opening places I will ask to open the door. I want you to open the door of your heart. Can everybody say that together? Yeah, please. I'm a Nigerian. If you don't talk back to me, I will just think I'm doing terribly bad. Yeah. Open the door of your heart. Open the door of your house. Open the door of heaven. That's three the door I want. One, the door of your heart, the door of your house, and the door of heaven. That's my preaching this morning. I'll finish. Open the door of your heart. Your heart is the center of your life. The book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it said, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are what? Issues of life. Life flows out of your heart. Your heart is the center of your life. Your heart is a control room of your life. Your heart is the seat of power of your life. Both God and Satan really want your heart. And whatever controls your heart controls your life. Whatever directs your heart directs your life. And so that is why this morning I want to appeal to you to open your heart to God, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Jesus said, I stand knocking. Where is he knocking? It's knocking at the door of your heart. It's knocking at the door of your throne. The throne, he wants to be the king. He wants to rule in your heart. He wants to rule in your life. He wants to control your thought pattern, your emotion, everything, your decision making. He wants to control it. He just wants you to open your heart and let him become the Lord of your life. And I know you will not regret it. When he opens, you open your heart to him and he takes control. Listen to me, every other thing is easy. Christianity is not about do and don't and restriction. It's about life. It's life. When the King of Life comes into your life, he flows life from you. And that is why some of the things you said, this is a moral ethics. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Why is it fruit? It's because when the Spirit is in you, it just bears fruit. Listen to me. The plant, the mango tree, does not struggle to bear mango. Orange does not struggle to bear orange because in its DNA, in its constitution, there is everything in it that makes it a mango tree and makes him to do what? To bear mango. And that is it. As long as it's rooted and it has water, he keep bearing mangoes. And that is how, when you open your heart, your spirit, your soul, the throne room of your life to Jesus, you will just bear fruit. Of love, of kindness, of joy, of peace. And that you just don't have to struggle to do it. Open your heart to him. Surrender it to him. You know, one time I was preaching somewhere and I said, oh, how many of you want to give your heart to Jesus? And then everybody, some of them raised up their hands. And then I said, okay, come out. Let's pray for you. And everybody, you know the song we usually sing? All to Jesus I surrender, all to you I really, I surrender, oh. And this young guy was raised up his hand and saying, I surrender some. I surrender some. I said, that's wonderful. He is being sincere. He's truthful. He surrenders some and not all. And I think I say, maybe you have to go back. You mustn't do it today. You just have to go back and think about it clearly. Because Jesus don't want some. He wants all. Because he gave all to us. He gave his life to us. He gave everything. God gave everything. And so he wants all. And so, My encouragement, I suggest to you this morning not to give it some. Open some part of your heart. Open all your heart to him. And what it means is making a deliberate decision to follow Jesus. Make a deliberate, conscious decision to follow Jesus and be a child of God. And this might also mean to you, actually, opening your heart to believe God. Faith. Opening your heart to believe God. Sometimes I struggle here. I struggle there. Because we are knowledge-based community. We want to figure out everything by our mind. But truth is that not every problem you can solve with your mind. You just need to believe sometime. All things are possible to them that believe. Open your heart and believe God with your heart. The Bible said this in book of Romans chapter 10 from verse 9. It said, with your heart man believes unto righteousness, and with our mouth we confess unto salvation. And so we just need to believe in our heart that Jesus died and resurrected and is coming back again. We just have to believe in our heart. What he says in his word is true. When he said you are healed, you are healed. When he said you are delivered, you are delivered. When he said you are more than a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror. When he said you are victorious, you are a victorious person. When he said you are living, you are living. You are not going to die. When he said you are well, you are well. Just don't believe. Open your heart. Believe what God says about you. Believe God, what God says about our nation and country. Sometimes we look at our nation, we say, I'm from Nigeria, we say, where are we going? But I know God is saying we're going to become great nations. And I believe what God says. Whose report are you believing? The report of the CNN, BBC, channels for Nigeria, and other news? You know, those reports, they will give you always bad news, bad report. If there's a car crash, they will tell you there's a car crash and 10 people died. But the same road, more than 5,000 cars has passed through that road and nothing happened. And they never tell you about that. And so you just decide to choose your news, choose your place to get your information. But I think I want to suggest to you that you open your heart to Jesus and to the heaven and believe the report of God. Whose report do you believe? I choose to believe the report of God. Not just my doctor, not just what people are saying, not just what how I feel or how I think or what is going on now in community. I choose to believe the report of God. Open your heart and see God, door of hope. Hosea chapter 2 verse 15, he said, in the valley of Achor, it was the way where they kill Achan, and that Achor means trouble. He said, that valley shall become a door of hope. Listen to me, open your heart. You might be in the valley of Achor, a place of trouble, a place of darkness, like David. He said, even though I pass through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He was going to the valley of shadow of death. He was seeing death all around him. There was darkness. There was shadow everywhere. But he has a hope in the living God that is able to take him through the valley of shadow of death to a place of table where he will rejoice and be anointed and sit and relax. What are you seeing now? I want you to open your heart not only to Jesus and just to Jesus, but also believe his word and open your heart to the door of hope in your situation. No matter how bad it looks like, no matter how difficult it looks like, no matter what they are saying about you, Mr. No Do Well, Madam No Do Well, you failed last year, you have no child, you have no job. Listen to me, there is a hope for you. Open your heart for hope. Why? Because there is a table prepared before you, and no enemy shall stop you, no devil shall stop you, no wickedness shall stop you, because you are walking with him in the valley of shadow of death. He is with you. So I encourage you, please, open your heart. There's much more. There's more things. There's more in the future for the church, for your life, for your marriage. It's not yet over. Open your heart. There is a better tomorrow. I don't believe in the good old days. I believe in the better days ahead coming. There is reason to live. Open your heart. Number two, I will encourage you to open the door of your house. Let's read Job, if you'd like to open to Job chapter 31. Job 31, if we project it, I'll be happy. Job 31, 32. Sorry. 32. I'd like to read it out. Job 31:2, it said, the sojourner has not lodged in the street. I have opened my doors to the travelers. Can we go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Open your house. Tell your neighbor, open your house. I didn't hear you. Open your house. And when I talk about your house, it is your home where your family dwells and lives. Your house is the household. In Israel, household, we include the slaves and then every other person working. your house, but also in turn your business and every other thing you have. Your house might entail the entirety of your life, your possession, and what you own. Open it to God. There is this often bargain, you know, the Pharaoh's bargain. The Pharaoh said to Moses at a point when the plague was hitting him hard. He said, you know what we do? Now, I want to allow you. You people can just go. All the men should go and do what? And worship your God for 3 days, and you come back. Moses said, no, we're not leaving children and women and every other thing. At that point, he said, okay, Moses, another deal. You know, all the men and the women should go with you and go and worship. Leave your children and your cattle. Yeah. And then Moses said, no. We are not going to leave our children. We're going to go, all of us, our people of God, we're going to worship God. And at that point, he said, okay, Moses, you know what? I want, okay, all of you should go. Go with your children, but leave your cattle here. Leave all of them here. Let's go and you'll come back. That is a bargain of Satan sometimes. And Moses said, no, we're not going to leave anyone because we don't know which of them our God will require when we get to the wilderness for sacrifice. We are going to go with our men, with our women, with our children, with everything we have, and with our money, with our things. And we're going to go with it because God needs every one of them. No bargain. No bargain. So I want to ask you to open your home, open your house to God and for God. I'll tell you a story. Somebody built a house. They had built a 10-room house, big 10 rooms. And then he was very good, very religious. He said, remember the Bible said you should give one-tenth to God. And so he now said, oh, I'm very, very, very religious person. He said, God, in all this house, I take 2-3 rooms from I and my family, and then I rent out the other one. God, this one is your room. Nobody is going to live there. It's for God. Jesus, stay here. And then, that was wonderful. But one day, the enemy knocked at the door. Beep, 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 beep. And then, what is that? It was Satan. It was a trouble. And then, the enemy bamboozled him, did all he could, wounded him, and that. And then later went to knock at the door of God. God, you were here. And the Satan came and bruised me. His God said, you gave me one room. I'm staying in the one room. I'm just in my room. I don't want to disturb you. It's okay, God. I gave you 2 rooms. And nothing happened again. And God did not come out. Now he said, God, I gave you 3 rooms. From there, he gave 5. From 5, he gave. And each of the time, when he gave 9, he said, okay, I've given everything to God. And then the enemy came again. And then he asked, God, what happened? He said, you gave me 9 rooms. I'm just staying and occupying my 9 rooms and enjoying it. Until one day, it dawned on him that God needed the whole rooms. And God, he said, take everything. And then, when the enemy came again to knock at the door, God walked out. Jesus walked out and said, who are you? Where are you going? This is my house. God wants you to give you the whole of a house, everything you have, no bargain. Don't come without your children. Don't come without your wife. Don't come without your wealth. Everything is needed by God because we don't know which one God will send on mission. We don't know which one God will call to do this or that for us. And so what would be the implication of this? The implication is number one, giving your home. Let your house become the habitation of God. I am just sick of religion that separates your life in the church with a life at home and a business. I'm sick of that. You know, in Nigeria, and then we go to the trade, the marketplace. By 12 o'clock, the whole people, they gather especially people from my tribe. They are clapping hands and praising God and worshiping God. And in fact, if you go there, the Holy Spirit will come down. But if you call somebody out of that place and say, oh, come and sell these things to me. I want to buy some market from you. And you go to his shop. Are you following me? Go to buy something from his shop, from him. He will sell something that is not genuine to you and collect money in the name of genuity and come back to the market and clap hand and praise God for blessing him. And when you ask him, he said, no, that is business. This is business. And this is church. So in the church, you do church. When you go to business, you do what? Business. In the church, you do church. When you go to your house, you do your house. This is my home. This is my life. You don't tell me what to do. No. The best place to be a Christian is in your home. You are the pastor of your children. The Jesus that children see. The Jesus that your wife see. The Jesus that people you work with in the office sees. There shouldn't be any separation. Open the doors of your house and your homes and your marriages to. I was counseling some women, a couple, and then I said, will you accept what the Bible says? The man said, okay, yes. And the woman said, let's put Bible aside. I said, counseling close. Go to your home. I can't put Bible aside. Do you put Bible aside and put church aside? Come to the church holy, but in the house a tiger. Open your house for him. Obed-Edom opened his house and they brought the ark of the Lord. And you know there was transformation. Changes happened in his house. In the early church, most of the churches we are meeting in the house. Open the house for him, for God. Let your home become a place of habitation. Number two, open your house to strangers. 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 The refugees. The homeless. I was happy when I was going the tour. They was telling me, taking me the tour of your building. And he said, you see here, all the homeless every week. Once in a week, we make food for them. They come here. I was so happy. I said, I clap for your church. Wonderful. Open the door for the strangers. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13, it said, by so doing, some people entertain angels, not knowing they were angels. Abraham saw some strangers, welcomed them to their home, make food for them, and then he never knew there were angels coming that was going to Sodom. And then you know what happened? The end of it. He said, Abraham, where is your wife Sarah? And he said, by this time next year, you will have a baby. 99 years old, Abraham. 89 years, Sarah laughed. This is my age. I said, you laughed. He said, no. Bernard laughed. I said, angels, why are you laughing? Is there anything too hard for God to do? Tara said, I didn't laugh. Oh, I no laugh. Oh. He said, you laughed, but you will laugh better. And you know what happened? Isaac came as a result of that visit. Do you remember that? You remember Lot was saved from Sodom by the angels, by the people he saw on the square and welcome to their home? Please. A lot of things is happening in the world, and some people are running now to this part of the world. Open your homes. Open your hearts. Be hospitable to people that might provide opportunity of salvation. There was a story I read one time, and that story of about a homeless boy that was staying in America, and there was just, this day was, it was homeless, nothing. And then this day was so cold. And he went to a police officer controlling traffic and said to him, ah, sir, please can you help me? I have no place to go. I've been living and it's too cold. I'm not eating today. The police officer said, just go down that house, down that street. You'll see one white house. When you knock there, just say John 3:16. That's the only thing you say, John 3:16. He walked down the road, he knocked the house and said, John 3:16. One beautiful old lady, smiling face, brought him in and gave him and put him by the side of the heater, and then he was warmed up. And then asked him, what do you want to eat? He said, I want to eat this. He made food for him. And for many years, he has never been at home. Many years, he had been just selling things around the roadside and sleeping rough. And then the morning, he was given a very beautiful room and other thing. And then in the morning, he called the old woman. I just want to know what is this John 3:16 that opened the door and gave me food and gave me a cloth and gave me a... What is John 3:16? The old woman opened the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He said, if this is the John 3:16, me, I will follow John 3:16. That is how he became a believer. Let's open our doors. Let's open our doors to the strangers. And just coming to conclusion, the opening the door of heaven. Opening the door of heaven. And how do we open the door of heaven? Who has the key? God has a key. But also the key was given to us too, to open the door of heaven. We have to pray. You open the door of heaven through prayer, through giving, through faith. The door of heaven. Open the door of heaven through prayer. And when the heaven opens, the earth shakes and changes happen. Faiths are planted in the heart of men. People are transformed. You know, we have to open the door through prayer. Love the way you are going for prayers. And pray and pray and call God again. You know, Herod killed James. Church did not do anything. And one day he apprehended Peter, knowing that it seemed to be the leader. He said, oh, this will please the Jews. The Jews were excited and happy. You know, there are people who are excited seeing you down. And then they were happy. And the Bible said Peter was put on a maximum security. But you know what? The church prayed. When the church prayed together, prayed and prayed and prayed, heaven opened and the angels came down. And when just angel came, he walked into the doors closed. Peter was in between two soldiers tied to them because they were very cautious of them. They knew that these people can disappear and walk out. And so they said, please hold him. These guys, you can't hold them. They are like air. So they have to tie them. And two doors. And the Bible said the angel came, tapped Peter. Peter woke up. He thought he was dreaming. And the first door opened by itself, automatic door. God operated the first automatic door. The second, and then he opened this last one, the big gate of the city. Why? Opened by itself. And the Bible said, Peter came back to himself. Said, this is not a dream. God has sent his angels to deliver me. When we pray, the heavens open. And when it opens, every impossibility becomes possible. Every prison gates are broken. He releases us. He frees us. And not only that, the Bible said, that's why I just was confused at this point. But they came and knocked. And Rhoda came. I heard a voice. It is Peter. It's Peter. It's Peter. They said, no, it's not Peter. It's Peter. It's not Peter. Some of them say, it must be angel or Peter, talking like Peter. They are praying for Peter to be released, to be delivered. Here is Peter, but their door is still closed. Sometime we are praying for a miracle. We are praying for a job. We are praying for opportunity. We are praying for something. And he's with us here. And then our eyes are blind. The doors of our heart is closed. And so what am I trying to say? If we want to open heaven, we must go in faith. We want to open heaven, we must go with expectation. They are praying for Peter. But they don't have expectation that Peter is going to walk out of that place. They are praying for a child, but they're saying, I am too old to have a child.
They are praying for a job, but they are saying, I am not qualified at all to have such a job. They are praying for opportunity, and they say, oh, this opportunity is not really the one I want. They see it, and they close the door of your heart. I want to appeal to you today. If you want to see open heaven, pray, give, but open your heart with expectation. God can meet you at any point, at any time, at any day. He doesn't have a specialized day. It's not like a British person that everything is timed. It must be by 9, 10, 11, 10. It moves by so-so. I love that. That's wonderful. But God is not a Briton. He can decide to be late. He can decide to come out to a day or 3 days after. He can decide to come even before the time. He can come anytime. When you are praying, pray with faith and expectation. And when hope, when what happened, heaven opened, you know what? Miracles happen, changes happen. The Bible said in Psalm 78, verse 23, it said, They didn't believe God, but God showed them mercy and showed them grace and sent manna from heaven and fed them in the wilderness, even though they don't believe God. When heaven opens, grace comes, mercy comes. You receive what you never qualify for, what you never ask for, what you never expect, because my God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than you can imagine or ask. Thank you. God bless you. Shall we stand and pray? Shall we stand and pray? Sharaba Sindalaraba Sintalaraba Shindari. Horomo Shantoriba. I don't know where you are this morning, but I can hear him saying, I am knocking at the door. Door of your heart to open it for me. Door of your house to open it for me. Door of heaven, I want to open it and shower you rain, abundant rain, and bring revival and bring change. I just want you to speak to God on your own and talk to him. You know where you need to do something else. You know where he's prompting you, where he's talking to you. Open the floodgates. In abundance, and cause your rain to fall on me. Open the floodgate in abundance, and cause your rain to fall on me. Baba oh, Baba oh, oh, oh yeah. Baba, oh, 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 we are in your presence. Let it rain and cause your rain to fall on me. Open the floodgate in abundance and cause your rain to fall on me. Baba, oh. Baba, oh, Baba, oh. Our Father, we want to thank you. Lord, we are opening our house, our heart, our house, and we are asking the heavens to open. And Father, Lord, we ask that your Spirit, we minister the reality of this truth to every heart, to every mind today, that your name will be glorified. I pray for those who are sick. I'm asking for healing. Lord, I pray that one with pain in his right hand, I ask that that pain will go. Healing through your body, through your system, because by the stripe we are healed. You are healed now. You are free. Lord, I pray for that person that seems to be passing through the valley of shadow of death and darkness everywhere. Father, I pray that the light will shine in darkness. Lord, that hope will burst up and that something will open up. Father, I pray for that person that feels like he's in prison. Prison of sin, prison of habit, prison of life, prison of finance. Lord, I pray that the heaven will open and break forth and let's prison's foundation be shaken, and let them burst forth and out from that prison. Thank you, Lord, I pray, for the open door church, that the heavens will be opened, and there will be flooding of the Spirit and of His power. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some keys to live, experience, and enjoy the ruling power of that throne. Thank you very much, Sam. God bless. Tea and coffee is being served by the youth. If you're visiting us and you'd like to know a little bit more about us, just on my left, your right, as you go towards it, where Jeanette is waving, there's tea and coffee there, and you can ask us, find out a little bit more about us. Otherwise, if the parents could get their children, thank you very much. God bless.